The October before last, I was with the undergraduate seminarians from Sacred Heart Seminary, and we were in Holly on what they call their Days of Reflection, just a couple of days over the course of a weekend. I guess that's what a weekend is, a couple of days. It was kind of a low-key retreat, a couple of days break for them from their studies before their exams, just a chance to spend some time together with their classmates and to pray together, go out on the boat, go for a nice walk in the beautiful surroundings. And I gave a couple of talks to them on the priesthood. And of course, we had Mass in the chapel at the retreat house. And I was talking to one of the seminarians after the Mass one day, and he said something to me about what I'd talked about in my homily, because he said he was a little distracted, and I didn't think much about it. Everybody gets distracted at times, I get it. But then I was talking to one of the other seminarians, and he said something along the same lines, that he'd had a hard time focusing during Mass. And as we were talking, another of the seminarians was overhearing this conversation. He said, "Yeah, I know, right? It was really hard." And I'm thinking, what's going on? Am I that boring? So I said, "What's going on with you guys? Is nobody paying attention?" And then one of them said, "Father, didn't you see it?" And he was all excited. I said, "See what?" "The deer." And I guess, so this chapel has this picture window that's essentially a whole wall of glass in the chapel. And it looks out onto the gardens in the field beyond, and I guess there had been about 15 deer stood right outside the window during Mass, fighting. And they had all been looking at this, and I was the only one who didn't see it, because they're all facing it, and I'm facing them and looking away from the window, and why do you think we have a brick wall back here? So I didn't see any of it. So I made them feel bad by saying, "No, of course I didn't see it. I was looking at Jesus." Which is true, but, you know. And I can't blame them. I would have had a hard time focusing on it, too. Our eyes are so easily distracted by what's outside. In this gospel today, Jesus is imploring us to take a look inside, to put our focus there, to not be distracted by something that takes our eyes off him. Our eyes are like a big picture window on the world, but so often it's one-way glass. There's a lot of fighting going on outside of those windows. We live in this aggressive, opinionated world that finds itself so easily distracted and argumentative about the slightest disagreement. And so it's so easy to be drawn into that. And before you know it, we're not just looking at it, but we're involved. We're part of it, part of the fight. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, Jesus says. From the fullness of his heart, his mouth speaks. It'll be an interesting test to do for all of us. Have somebody follow you around for a whole day and record everything that comes out of your mouth, all the conversations. How would those conversations sound? What would they say about the goodness of your heart or the charity of your soul? Are you occupied with trying to live your life as a Christian, or more distracted by what other people are doing and then commenting on it? What is it in the human heart that makes us feel like we have to be the arbiters of other people's behavior, or the correctional officer of other people's opinions? What is it in us, at times, that can be so lacking in confidence in our own place in life that we have to try to pull somebody else down to make ourselves feel better? I wonder if a lot of times it's projection. It's a guilty conscience. Perhaps we have taken a little bit of a look inside. Maybe we didn't like what we saw. And it's easier to feel good about what you see inside if what you see outside is worse, or at least if you can make it seem like it's worse. Jesus is imploring us to take a second look, not just a glance, but a hard look, enough to take stock and then to do something about it. What he is not telling us to do is to never look at our brothers and sisters and see anything bad in them that needs correcting. That's just not realistic. And what he's not telling us to do is to never judge somebody, and this is where people can come unglued when a priest says that. "Well, we heard what Jesus said last week. Stop judging." What we don't realize is that sometimes we misinterpret the gospel and instead think we're supposed to just tolerate everything and anything. That's never loving. That's never merciful. You don't let the blind man walk off the cliff. But you won't see him. This is the point. You won't see him, and you can't help him if you're blind too. If we're trying to help somebody to see the truth, to see what is good, but we don't have the ability to do it well because maybe there's something inside us that's also rotten. If it's something that stinks too much for us to have dealt with, then we'll never be in a good place to be able to help another person. But Father, Jesus said last week, stop judging. Use those words. You heard it. Yes, he did. He also said, love your enemies. Do good for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who hate you. So start there. Funny, I never hear people quoting Jesus on that one. We get this selective hearing at times. And this is the danger if we don't read the scriptures, if the only time we hear the scriptures is here at Mass once a week on a Sunday. We misinterpret the context, and we don't even know it. This is a continuation, as the gospel often is, from week to week. This isn't a week between readings. This is Jesus one sentence to another. He says, stop judging, but then, right away, we heard it today, he says, remove the wooden beam from your own eye first. I think if there's one word in the gospel that's missed and that's most important today, it's that word, first. Why first? Because there's a second. Only then, he says, only then will you see clearly. See clearly to do what? To remove the splinter from your brother's eye. The splinter, the fault. He wants you to remove that. It might be much smaller than your own, but if you love them, if you care, you'll want to help them, to remove the splinter, to correct the fault in them, but not to point score, not to keep, you know, to win the argument, but instead to keep them from harm, to bring them to the truth. And in order to do that, we have to judge one another lovingly. But if what's inside of you is rotten fruit, then all you'll bring to that person from that store of evil is more evil. If the correction is not done in love, if it's a need to win, to pull them down, to prove them wrong, to find fault, and you'll be the blind leading the blind off the cliff, away from Christ, into anger and hatred and resentment, into the death of the soul. That was the fault of the Pharisees that Jesus is calling out in this gospel, and why he calls them hypocrites. They were not looking to raise people up, to bring them to the truth out of love, only to exert power and authority over them. There was no mercy, there was no love in them. The letter of the law had distracted them from the spirit of the law, which was to honor God, to praise God, and to give him his due. The psalm response we sang today leaves us with a question. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. So does our life do that? Do our words do that? Does our conversation with other people do that? If you look into the window of your soul, do you see goodness there? Or do you see things that you'd rather be distracted from? Things that don't honor God? Let's turn a little inward in our judgments as we head into the season of Lent this week. What are we storing inside? Is it good fruit or rotten fruit? People will know that from how we interact with them, how we speak to them. They will know that from our words. But God already knows that.